Our study tonight is out of the book of Amos, chapter 4, verses 6 through 13, God's judgment for relentless spiritual hardness. When God needed a messenger to the wicked northern kingdom of Israel as it was at the height of its spiritual rebellion against him, the Lord sent Amos, a layman from Judah, to travel north into Israel to pronounce sharp judgment as a great warning to that nation. Israel had already been the recipient of several punishments from the Lord, but due to her relentless spiritual hardness, the nation had failed to repent each time. So only an extreme final punishment was due from the Lord. Well, Amos chapter 4, verses 6 to 13 addresses this issue, and we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. As we said many times before, the reason so much of the Old Testament prophets are dealing so much with God's warnings of punishment is not because God enjoys it. He doesn't. He doesn't take pleasure in punishing the wicked. He's doing it because he's trying and trying over and over again to get people to repent so he won't have to punish people. But we'll keep this in mind. We'll read the passage and then we'll look at it. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. This is the Lord speaking, and I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One parcel of ground was rained upon, but the field whereupon it rained it not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees, your olive trees increased. The palmer worm, that's actually, it should be the locust, devoured them. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent you among the disease or pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stench of your camps come up to your nostrils, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus I will do unto you, O Israel, because I will do this unto you. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declares unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of armies, is his name. Okay, Israel was in a typical ancient Near Eastern suzerain treaty, covenant relationship with God, where the covenant described various curses or punishments that God as a suzerain would bring against his vassals in Israel for disloyalty and disobedience. In Israel's case, the covenant was the Mosaic covenant, so God had brought several punishments upon Israel for her disobedience, but the nation had still refused to repent. Now those punishments and Israel's relentless spiritual hardness are described in Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 12. I said 22, but that should be 12. I'm sorry. Blame it on the typist. Okay, and what's interesting, each of these punishments were predicted in the Mosaic Covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and also in Leviticus. So what God is doing, he's not doing anything that is a surprise. If they've been reading their Bibles, they would know that the Word of God had addressed each one of these issues. First, God had caused the nation to experience hunger and famine with low food production in fulfillment of Leviticus 26, 26 and 29 and Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 17 and 48 as described in Amos chapter 4, verse 6. All the cities of Israel had experienced hunger with the lack of food, yet the nation had not repented ever since. This is especially important, this issue of food, because remember the Canaanites worship the god of Baal and then Baal's consort, Asherah, which would be the female goddess. Those are the gods that brought rain that produced food. The food is very important, agricultural production. So a lot of these, Israel had turned to these pagan gods, and so what God did was, even though they were worshiping these pagan gods, they weren't getting food. They weren't getting production. So that was a wake-up call. They should have said, wait a minute, the Canaanite gods are not helping us out. What's going on? Well, all I have to do is read the Bible and find out they should have been worshiping the Lord. Second, God had caused the nation to experience drought in fulfillment of Leviticus 26:19 and Deuteronomy 28:22-24 and verse 48 as described in Amos 4:7-8. God had withheld the spring rain that was so important for a productive harvest the last 3 months of the growing season, selectively letting it rain on one city and not on another, on one field but not another, to where the dry fields harvested withered. So he probably had one field that where God had put plenty of rain on it, and a couple of fields over, no rain. And you know, that seemed very, very odd. Normally there's either rain or there isn't rain for the whole area, but God selected specific fields and he overlooked specific other fields. So this had led many people from two or three cities to wander to another city that had received rain, only to obtain a limited water supply. And yet the people had still not learned from this hardship that they needed to repent in accordance with the word of God. Once again, their worship of Baal and the Astarte goddess, the gods of rain, and then collected pools of water, the female goddesses, collected pools of water, and that was supposed to produce crops. So God had cut back on the food. He'd also cut back on the rain. They still didn't get the point. But he's really critiquing their worship of these false gods. Third, God had afflicted Israel with blight and mildew in fulfillment of Leviticus chapter, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 20, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, 18, 22, 30, 39, and 40. And it's described here in Amos 4:9a. When their vegetable and fruit tree gardens and their vineyards had yielded produce, blight and mildew destroyed them. But Israel had still not repented. Fourth, God had caused Israel to face locust plagues in fulfillment of Deuteronomy 28, 38, and 42, as described in Amos 4:9b. The locusts had devoured the leaves of their fig and olive trees, but Israel still had not repented. Of course, if those trees lose their leaves, they can't be productive. And so they have a crop shortage in those areas. Fifth, God had caused Israel to experience plagues of illness in fulfillment of Leviticus 26, 16, and 25, and Deuteronomy 28, 21, and 22, 27, 35, and 59-61 as described in Amos 4:10. Israel had still not repented. It's interesting, we've had a lot of diseases, well, especially this COVID thing that's come along. A lot of it probably has been blown up, but I think some of this, the Lord has been behind this. He's trying to wake the world up. Sixth, God had caused Israel to experience military defeat in fulfillment of Leviticus 26, 17, 25, 33, and 36-39, and Deuteronomy 28, 25-26, 49-52, as described here in Amos 4:10b. Israel's young men had been slain with a sword, her horses had been confiscated, and the stench of dead bodies slain by the invaders had hung over the camps, but the people of Israel still had not repented. Notice how the punishments of God are intensifying. It's not just a shortage of food or a shortage of water. Now we're getting into invasions and war. Seventh, God had caused Israel to face devastation in fulfillment of Leviticus 26, 31-35, and Deuteronomy 29, 23-28, as it is described in Amos 4:11. This devastation occurred when the armies would come in, these foreign armies would come in, and they would just ransack some of these towns, just level them, crush them, all the way to the ground, knock everything down. Well, what had happened is God had overthrown some of the nation's cities like he had overthrown Sodom and Gomorrah with such great devastation by invaders that some of Israel's cities had ceased to exist. And the entire nation had come perilously close to obliteration, barely escaping like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Nevertheless, Israel had still not repented. Accordingly, because of Israel's continual failure to repent in her relentless spiritual hardness, God was about to punish her with a devastating sweep through the land, as predicted in Amos 3:11-15 that we covered earlier. The call prepare to meet your God is most likely a military summons to an awful confrontation. A lot of times people feel that prepare to meet your God is prepare to meet him in eternity, but here it's really talking about a military challenge. Israel was to face God's final judgment. And of course, you don't want to face God's judgment if he's fighting and he's using an invading army that's coming against you, because that army is going to win, because they're on the side of God. So Israel is going to face God's final judgment. The description in Amos 4:13 likens God's terrifying approach to the judgment of a darkening of a storm. Now, it's interesting. The God of Baal was the storm god. He was the god of lightning, god of thunder and rain and hail. And Ashtarte would be the goddess of the collected pools of water that the rain would come down. So here God is putting himself in the place of Baal. It's God that they're having to deal with, not Baal. And what God is doing is critiquing Baal in this. So God is the commander of all forces in heaven and earth, was about to advance against Israel. I know that in the King James Version it says the God of hosts is his name. The word hosts is actually the word for armies. Now, we translated hosts many times, but it's a God of armies. And God of armies, he's not only the God of the armies of Israel, he's also the God of foreign armies. And sometimes he uses foreign armies to punish his people. That's, you know, part of the Mosaic Covenant. So the Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of armies is his name. So he's a very powerful God, and he can deal out tremendous judgment. The lesson is for repeat failures in relentless spiritual hardness to repent under God's initial punishments that were in clear fulfillment of the Mosaic Covenant. Israel, without excuse, was about to face God's severe punishment. Now, one of the values of reading scripture is that we can learn from other people's mistakes. Okay. Israel here made a big mistake, whopping big mistake, rejecting the Lord, rejecting and not obeying the Lord. We can learn. If God has clearly and often warned us of his punishment for sin, we had better repent just as soon as we possibly can. ASAP. You know, before God changes his mind and lowers the boom. So God is very fair. He's very clear. And then he often, in grace, he will warn us often. But there comes a point where God lowers the boom. And when he lowers the boom, there's no turning back. Boom. His punishment has to fall. Well, we don't want to be on that side of the punishment of God. And God doesn't want us to be on that side of his punishment. So I know this is a lesson that we've been taught a number of times before, but it's amazing how God repeats this. And he repeats this throughout Scripture because he wants his people to get the point. Sin is nothing to fool with. Sin is nothing to allow ourselves to be enticed with. It's dangerous. And what we need to do is to repent of it. If God points it out, we need to repent of it. And as soon as we possibly can, so that we can find the forgiveness that God provides for us.